What is it about the debate in any election that is such a focal point? What are the factors?
Well, in some ways, in that word, the focal point, we see that the general election debates will take place usually 2 to 3 weeks out, sometimes a month or so out of the date of the election. After the conventions are out of the way and the parties control the conventions and made for TV, then the candidates, the two nominees, the two major party nominees, are on the stump. But then the only time they come together, literally on the same stage, the only time that they cross paths in the presidential race, year one, 2 year, this, you know, long presidential race, is at that debate moment. And that's the time, the only time in the campaign too, that voters are able to really do a comparative assessment. Now, you can watch one convention and watch the other. What we know about conventions, you know, we just came out of that period, is that the partisans tend to tune in for their party's conventions. And you may have little interest in tuning in to the person who you're not supporting. But even, and a lot of partisans will tune into debates, but you can't ignore the other person in a debate. You know, we don't find that folks will mute the TV when the other person speaks. You know, they want to see how they respond to this charge or attack from the person they're supporting. So in that sense, it's a comparative assessment. It comes at a moment in the campaign where many voters think, okay, we've got to make our decision. Now, most have already made their decision, but for the few perhaps who haven't, yes, the election's coming up. And now here's a time when I get to size them up side by side, compare them, and that's the only time. All the other forms of campaign communication, the TV ads, the websites, the stump speeches, everything else, most everything else, now some news reporting of the candidates that's not under the candidate's control. But the debate moment is that time where we think, too, that it's less scripted. Now, certainly the candidates prepare, but they show up with a blank notepad in front of them on that podium, no aides around them. They have no idea what questions are going to be asked. They don't know what their opponent's going to say. So if there's any chance of the real candidate or an unscripted moment, we might think that we'll find it in the debate.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. It's the most real, it seems like. Yeah. Get them. So since 92, what would you say have been the most memorable or momentum-swinging debates?
Yeah, you know, oftentimes we don't very rarely see momentum swinging debates or game changers, if you will. We have a lot of talk about that, and it's usually from candidates who are trailing, where they will put a lot of stakes into that debate moment in terms of it's a chance to turn it around. Now, we have had instances of a tight race going into the debates, where we conclude in terms of the analysis of polling data and other data, exit polling data, even at the polls on day of election, where a sizable number of folks pointed to the debate as the moment of that helped them make their decision. And so therefore there are a few instances, cases in which we can even go back to the very beginning in 1960, a very, very, very close race. It ended up ultimately a very close race. And many folks, even after casting their ballot, still pointed to the debate time, the debate moment between Richard Nixon and John Kennedy, as decisive in their decision. Now, we've had a few other instances. 1980, there was a single debate between Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter, where after the debate, but even before the debate, it was trending Reagan's way, the challenger, but after the debate, the polls just really went in his favor when folks were able to see him side by side with Jimmy Carter. The 2000 debates with Gore and George W. Bush, many assessments of Gore's performance in those debates were not very kind, and the polls were close. They started to drift a bit toward George W. Bush right after the debates, and then ultimately tightened just a bit, and we saw literally ending in a tie election. But I think the debate moments in that campaign, the debates were influential. So, you know, we're looking here now at the dynamics of a race where It had been a bit tighter, I think, in national polls a week or so ago. It may be drifting a bit in terms of the incumbent president now. We don't know where we'll be in a week or so. But there have been moments, instances, where candidates can make gaffes or flubs in debates that that can hurt them. I've often said and candidates know this too. That's why sometimes they're reluctant debaters. That there's great opportunity to harm oneself with a debate, mm-hmm. in a poor debate performance. We don't normally see one with a so-called stellar debate performance really helping themselves, because we expect our candidates to be coherent and to be able to answer questions. But when we see them stumble and make gaffes, we then remember that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, you know, that being said, you're saying with this year, where it's been pretty tight until very recently, mm-hmm. Between the two candidates, Do you see anything major happening beginning next week with these debates? Mm-hmm.
Certainly, we normally say in a race where there's an incumbent president that the primary topic for the debate, the primary question, is should you be reelected? That's the primary debate question when there's an incumbent on the stage. Do you deserve four more years? Now, as I said earlier, in races where one is trailing and then they're looking to the debate as the key moment that they must use to turn the dynamics in their favor, then the onus is on that challenger or on the trailing candidate, that they must do something, whether that's reveal something about the incumbent or about their opponent that has not been brought to our attention. Something that will get our attention in terms of policy pronouncements or issue information, or they're able to reintroduce themselves somehow in the debate as someone that we should reconsider. And so then the onus is on that challenger when they're trailing. So I think that still the stakes are very high in these debates. Particularly, maybe more so for Mitt Romney. Mm-hmm. If the current national polling trend, and then certainly the battleground state polls, are accurate or hold, then it is in turn. I think Mitt Romney's will need to use these debates to try to change the dynamics of the race.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And I know you said that the strong performance doesn't necessarily help you out so much, but at the same time, Romney is very polished in these mm-hmm. debates. What sort of factor does that bring into these? Mm-hmm. What is the difference in the environment?
I as I've analyzed his debate performance now, particularly as a primary debater, and then of course he had gubernatorial debates and he ran for United States Senate in Massachusetts, and he debated multiple times with none other than Ted Kennedy. And even in those debates, and I've analyzed those, Mitt Romney is a very good debater. And we saw this in the primary season this election cycle. As a matter of fact, he went through 23 different debates in the primaries this cycle. 4 years ago, in the 08 cycle, he, of course, also ran. That was the cycle that had John McCain, who emerged as the nominee. And they had 19 primary debates. So Mitt Romney should feel very comfortable on the debate stage. And what we saw in this primary season is that he can be a very disciplined, well-scripted candidate in terms of delivering lines, not getting rattled. There were only a very few moments when you take the whole span of 23 debate performances. And you add to that Mitt Romney was the target, the prime target in this cycle, for each of those, I call them anti-Romneys, those other candidates that kept emerging and wanted to knock him down, whether that was Gingrich or Kane or Santorum or Rick Perry. There seemed to be a new one each month. And in those series of debates, Mitt Romney was always the center of attack, literally in the center of the stage, and he handled himself rather well. One or two times, you know, there was one moment of a $10,000 bet with Rick Perry that folks pointed to as he lost his cool. But again, with the number of debates he was in, for him to only have lost his cool once or twice, and I think that sharpened him as a debater too. The ability to take strong attacks, to shrug them off, to give a coherent response to attacks as he did, that he's become a much stronger debater. So I think that he will be formidable come next week on October 3rd in the first debate. On the flip side of that, I think it's interesting to note, we often see incumbent presidents, when they are in re-election campaigns on the debate stage, not perform so well. The history of debates has shown that when an incumbent president debates, whether that's Gerald Ford in 76, Jimmy Carter in 80, even Ronald Reagan, the great communicator in 84, in his first debate with Walter Mondale, there was serious concerns after that debate, was he up to the job? There were questions about his age. You know, could he do this anymore in terms of even based on that debate performance? And we can go through the sort of span of debates when, for some reason, we've seen when an incumbent president debates, and it may have something to do with they've been in office 4 years, they're not used to being challenged, perhaps. As I said, Romney in his primary debates has gone through that. Maybe they've not had people around them attacking them, questioning them very strongly. And then that happens on the debate stage, and it does seem to rattle incumbent presidents. So I think it will be interesting to see these two candidates when they take the stage.